Well, welcome to week 49 of the Rexilom podcast. Again, this week, it's myself, Kirby Lakhanji, and Dawn Riddler. We are chatting markets, we're chatting global markets, we're chatting local markets, we're talking some NHI today. And really, Dawn, it's been an interesting week as far as markets are concerned. It started off kind of pretty anemic. You know, markets were trying to find a footing. It was, again, that kind of sideways trade that we've seen for much of the year happening. Then we had the Powell meeting, which we're going to chat about a little bit later, kind of midway through the week. And then all hell broke loose, right, Dawn? Pala-pala. Yeah. The whole Pala-pala issue emerged on Thursday.
Well, you know, there's a well-known Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. And I think that's exactly what we experienced last week. We were living in interesting times. And I think the interesting times aren't over yet. Market's going to continue to be volatile, but the markets reacted significantly in all sorts of directions when it came to politics. Basically, markets don't always move when politics moves, but last week was an exception.
Well, Dawn, you know, just to let listeners in a little bit into our lives, because a lot of people, you know, sometimes forget that we are human beings. You know, we actually do take holidays and, you know, there is downtime and so on. Actually, last week, as you know, was a week that I was away on holiday. And I remember avidly sitting and looking at markets and doing some work in the morning. And then when I was supposed to shut down my machine and kind of just take kind of half the day and just kind of keep a little bit of an eye on the market, but not maybe, you know, to you know, the full attention, I kind of looked at the screen and all of a sudden I just saw the Rand going. And I thought, what is going on here? And all of a sudden, then you start seeing the news items kind of emerging. And, you know, I suppose a lot of people say, you know, in this whole world where people are buying exchange traded funds, people are trying to minimize cost as far as investments are concerned. And I mean, I think Rexilom all-in fees are incredibly, incredibly appropriate for the kind of work that we do. And it's actually quite cheap, as a matter of fact, on a global standard. But, you know, this is the time that you sometimes need professional advice, because it's very easy to make those knee-jerk type reactions, right, Dawn, when you're sitting in these kind of situations. You're seeing things happening and you're not quite sure how you should be reacting.
Yes, you know, we see this often. I mean, obviously the last time that we saw severe knee-jerk reactions happening was in the beginning of COVID. And people were changing money into dollars and taking money offshore and cashing in pensions and doing all sorts of other things, mostly because they listened to Twitter way too much instead of switching off their computer and having a bit of a chill. But, you know, as you say, we're all human. And when you see massive movements like this and you think that's, you know, I need to protect my investments, and you don't have somebody that you can actually pick up the phone and say, what should I be doing? That's when you get these knee-jerk reactions happening. And inevitably, people like you and I, a couple of months down the line, have to try and unwind some of those trades and try and unwind some of those knee-jerk reactions. So I think for whenever there's a knee-jerk reaction like this, and, you know, our listeners don't know what to do and they're worried, is to pick up your phone, call us, or call your financial advisor if it's not one of the two of us, and have that discussion, because they should be telling you to calm down and giving you some reasonable insight into what has happened historically. As it turns out, the whole Pala-Pala rumor, which it was, that was just a rumor, was just a blip. You know, if you compare it to the massive market movements we saw during COVID or the massive movements we saw during Nenegate, Pala-Pala is just a blip. Yes, there could be some more volatility coming on, but we also get desensitized as investors to these kind of things.
I suppose, Dawn, you know, the immediate after effect of the whole Pala-Pala saga, I mean, I saw three things kind of happening in markets. The first was the currency took a hit. So the currency was kind of around the 17 level. It had come back all the way from above 18 and had broken all the way kind of to the 17 level, and it perhaps even broke below 17 for some intraday periods. And then all of a sudden, during the crisis, we saw it kind of breaching 1750, 1760, and it was, I saw it at some point as high as 1780 for a very, very brief period, and it actually closed the week kind of at the 1751, 50 level. That's the first big thing I saw happening. Second thing is I saw the financial services companies getting sold out, predominantly the banks. On the day, some of the banks were down 5, 6, 7%. And I'm talking about kind of large banks in South Africa. I'm talking about the large, large holdings. And then the third thing, which we saw quite a large movement, is in government bonds. The R2030, I think just before, you know, the day prior to the actual sell down was trading at about a yield of about 10.2% to 10.25%. It was likely going to be breaking below 10 at some point, because remember that yields globally are starting to break lower because inflation is now peaking and going to be potentially be reducing. So you've got this 10.2% kind of level for bonds. And then all of a sudden, as the Pala-Pala thing happened, we saw it going from 10.2% all the way up above 11%. And as a matter of fact, at some period, the bond market actually ceased trading for a period of time, and I saw the bond yields again drop down to about 10.7%. So there was quite a violent reaction there. I suppose one of the things that, and I mean, we talk about it quite a lot when we build solutions for portfolios and for clients and so forth, is bonds, because bonds in South Africa gives a really, really decent result.
Yes, you know, bonds for the average investor are a very difficult asset class to try and get your head around, right? And quite frankly, in the sort of where in the solution building, so in the solution building environment that you and I are in, we use corporate bonds, we use government bonds, we use a variety of different bonds. And a lot of those aren't available to the average retail investor, the average man on the street. But one of the bonds that is available to the man on the street is something called the government retail bond. And I think we put the link to the retail bonds in one of our previous newsletters. But these retail bonds, they can be 2-year, 3 or 5-year retail bonds, are giving some very, very good returns, some very high returns, up in the region of 9.5 to 10%. The minimum buy-in is as low as a couple of thousand rand. I think it might even be below 1,000 rand. And there's no upper limit on it. They are stuck there for a while, at least in most cases, you need to leave it there for at least a year, before you start attracting penalties on it. But they are very good places to put money securely for a period of time and get a very high rate of interest, much higher rate of interest than you're going to get in a fixed deposit in a bank, for example. But having said that, don't rush in and just buy these willy-nilly. Have the discussion with your planner to say, how can these retail bonds fit into my plan? What sums of money is it okay for me to put away for 5 years, so that I can actually maximize the kind of returns that I'm getting out of these environments? So yes, one of the easiest ways for the man on the street to take advantage of these higher bond rates. But, you know, again, just don't rush in where angels fear to tread.
Mm. I mean, I suppose that's one of the great things about South Africa, is the very high bond yields that we can attract in this country. And that is just because bond yields globally in the Western world, when those ratchet up, we have to give a premium over and above that as an emerging market in order to attract capital. And this is a classic example of that happening. And that's available to people on the street. It's available to us. It's available to everybody. I think even international investors, quite frankly, that's why the bond market trades just so effectively and efficiently in South Africa, because international managers are shopping in South Africa for bond yield on a continuous basis. And that's just because of the very high yields you're getting and the liquidity, the deep liquidity that you get in the bond markets here in South Africa. I suppose the other thing that's been happening that we need to touch on is the whole issue around the Fed Powell meeting that happened last year. Now we're talking about, obviously, about Powell's meeting at the Brookings Institute. We're talking about the speech that he did at the Brookings Institute. And it's interesting because I write this week about how markets are literally hanging on any news item that it can find in order to send markets either upwards or downwards. And it's news item by news item. And the reason for that is because the world ahead of us in 2023 is a pretty cloudy place. We know there's a recession building, but the question is, how deep is that recession? And that's a question mark, depending on which data you look at, which analysts you listen to, and quite frankly, which data points that are coming up that are being put as part of the new set of data that is changing that outcome on a continuous basis. One thing we know is there's going to be a recession. All the data points to it. The question just is, how deep is that recession? Now, I think for most investors, they kind of say, well, 2023 is a long way away. If recession happens, we'll deal with it down the line. What about today? And this is where the Brookings Institute conference meeting, or shall I rather say the speech that Jerome Powell gave, was so telling. Because you see him indicating that all of a sudden rate hikes are no longer going to be at the 75 basis point intervals, but it's going to be at 0.5%. Now, just to put that into context, when America hikes rates, they don't hike easily at 0.5%. They hike easily, much easier at 0.25% over time. So 0.5% is double that. 0.75% is three times that. So 0.75 is a very extraordinary event happening. 0.5% is less extraordinary, but still extraordinary for that to happen. And all of a sudden, markets take a breather and they say, oh, well, it's the end of the crisis. Look, inflation is going to be breaking lower and we'll be done with this crisis. Well, that's if you only look at the CPI data. If you look at all the other data that's busy coming to the foreground and continuously kind of pushing lower, and Dawn, you write about the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index. And if you open up the newsletter, you'll be able to go and have a look at how deep the PMI has actually dropped for the Chicago PMI. There's a lot of indication that markets are just not in a happy place. So this kind of this psychological level of 4,000 in the S&P 500, I expect might very well be broken on the downside once we start seeing 2023 roll in. And then I suppose, Dawn, the very large portion of trouble in markets is indicative of what's happening in bond markets. So just to give an indication of this, if you look at bond yields across America, two-year bonds are trading at a yield of 4.28% and 10-year bonds are trading at a yield of 3.49%. That is what is called classical bond yield inversion. It means you can lock up your money for 2 years and earn a higher rate than locking it up for 10 years. And that is nonsensical in markets. It should be the other way around. Almost always, bond yield inversion coincides with recessions. Almost always. So the bond market is indicating that there's trouble ahead. And the question just is, how deep is that trouble? Is it shallow or is it very deep? I urge people to look at the newsletter, go look at how the Chicago PMI has dropped. And we'll be talking more about these data points as they become available in coming weeks of the newsletter.
Kobe, the one other thing that we've been talking about week after week is inflation. And we did go into it a little bit in the newsletter as well. And with January rolling around, we're going to start to see what looks like a slowing down of inflation, but really it is just a base rate effect. Is that not so?
Yeah, that's true. So inflation started peaking in January of 2022. So remember that it's always, when we look at inflation, it's a year-on-year number. So it's what it is today versus what it was in 12 months ago. But if 12 months ago, that number starts being elevated, the pace of rate or the rate of change in inflation or any data point for that matter starts what we call petering out. And that is what we call, that's what we call the base effect in these numbers. Now, the base effect in these things are going to start changing. And on top of that, I think you're going to start seeing some core elements of the inflation picture starting to go into a negative, starting to record negative numbers, aka a deflationary environment. So lower inflation, so to speak, rather than negative inflation. And all of this is pointing to the fact that inflation has now peaked. And this is part of the reason why the Fed is also now obviously hiking rates by 0.5 basis points, because they're saying, well, our Fed funds rate is running between 3.75 to 4%. If we hike by another 50 basis points, we're going to go to 4.5%. And core CPI in America is running at 6.3% per year on year. Put the base effect into those numbers, and they are going to be much closer to targeting and actually matching inflation going into the beginning part of 2023. And that's part of the reason why they're doing this.
The questions in the mind of people who look into markets and economists and people like you and I is that, is the Fed, you know, inflation will come down by hell or high water. They will beat it to death. They will beat it down to that level. But how far are they going to beat it down? Are they going to be happy with a longer term view at 4%, or are they going to try and get it back down to 2%? And can they get it down to 2% without breaking the market?
Yes, I mean, long-term core PCI inflation in the US runs at roughly the 2% level. That's before we saw the spike that has actually happened now during 2022. There's two schools of thought here. The first is, The first school of thought is that the Fed will continue, and in other central banks across the world will continue to beat inflation lower until they get to their kind of average numbers again. If you look at the Fed policy, Fed will tell you, they will tell you that they continue to target a rate of core PCE number of roughly 2%, which is the long-term average. It's where they've been for many, many years. But the Russian crisis, and this is the second school of thought, the Russian crisis with any of the new embargoes that are happening on products and the troubles in China as far as trade is concerned, any of those things have got a, there's a school of thought attached that perhaps over time, core inflation across the Western world might live at a higher level than where it has been traditionally over the over time during a world where we had globalization. Because globalization has been put on the back burner and it's back to regionalization. That change causes higher inflation over time because all of a sudden we just, the normal shipping and distribution routes aren't just available that was available to during globalization. You have to almost go and build new distribution channels, new trade routes, et cetera, et cetera. And that costs money. Now, the jury is out if that is actually going to be happening. One thing we do know in markets is that inflation will break lower. The only question is to what degree and to how far these might actually drop.
Kobi, I think that's been a great sort of summary of what's happening in the markets last week. And let's hope we all get a break and it's not quite so much of a silly season in the markets as it's been over the last week. I think we can all do without it.
It certainly has been in the last week. It'll be interesting to see how the next week kind of plans out. I expect things to calm down, but there's lots of indication that markets could very well start breaking lower again. There's lots of guys that are, lots of data out on that as well at the moment. So let's watch. Let's see where what happens. Cash continues to be king at this stage.